Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wahda, wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da, wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lah, wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa sanadana wa habibana wa shafi'ana wa maulana muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, qul rabbi imma turiyanni ma yu'adun, ربي فلا تجعلني في القوم الظالمين وقال تعالى واتقوا فتنة لا تصيبن الذين ظلموا منكم خاصة واعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected listeners, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created man and given man, only the human race, one speciality, one unique quality that's only given to man. Animals do not enjoy this speciality. And this is the speciality of the human being being able to adapt to different environments, different situations, different scenarios, taking from one extreme to the other, with the aid of a few survival skills, a skill set of survival aids. Allah willing, he'll be able to survive and pull through and go through whatever difficulty it is very, very easily. Look at animals. If you take an animal from the desert, take a camel and take the camel from the extreme heat and put this camel into the snow, the camel will die. Take a polar bear from the snow and take it and put it into the desert, the polar bear will die. But take a human being, put him in the middle of the desert, sweltering heat, over 50 degrees Celsius. He'll need to adopt certain procedures, take certain steps, adopt his skill set of survival, and he'll pull through. Then take that same person, put him into the depth of the ice, into Antarctica. Temperatures below 40, below 50 degrees Celsius. He'll survive there, provided he has some skill set. Allah willing, he'll go through whatever the situation is around him. So this is a unique ability Allah has given man. Now this is as far as physical challenges are concerned. Man conducts himself correctly. He adopts the correct steps and procedures. He goes through very well. He survives whatever terrain you put him through. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءً. For every sickness, there's a cure. Meaning, for every problem, there's a solution. It's impossible. Allah gives man the ability to overcome, to get through whatever physical challenges are lashed out, are pushed towards him. Allah has given him the ability to adapt and survive those physical challenges. It's impossible that when spiritual challenges come to him, Allah hasn't given him a skill set of survival. That's impossible. Like Allah will give him the ability to adapt physical difficulties, Allah will give him the ability to adapt and survive spiritual challenges as well. Physical challenge, we all know, the terrain changes, the weather changes, temperature rises or it drops. Spiritual challenges are of a different level and a different nature. A physical challenge is aimed at harming his body, damaging his health, taking his life. But a spiritual challenge is not aimed at harming him physically, it's going to harm him spiritually. And the greatest harm of the spiritual challenge is that it's aimed at removing his iman, robbing him of his iman and taking this greatest bounty away from him. And this, in the terminology of Quran and Hadith, is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us, a word known as fitan, fitnas, trials and tribulations. The aim of these trials, they will come, they came and they'll continue coming, and before Qiyamah, they'll get even stronger and more severe. The aim is to rob people of Iman. Allah save and protect every one of us. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu narrates an incident. A hadith recorded in Sunan Abi Dawood, he says, "Kunna qu'udan ala hawl Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." We were once seated around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Rasul of Allah delivered a sermon. The topic on that day was this very same spiritual challenge we're talking about, fitna, trials and tribulations. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started by explaining a fitna known as fitnatul ahlas. Then he went on to explain fitnatul sarra. Then he came on to one fitna known as fitnatul duhayma. Fitnatul duhayma, if we give a literal translation, it's a cloudy fitna, a dark fitna, a murky fitna, a fitna that's very confusing. The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا تدع أحدا من هذه الأمة إلا لطمته لطمة. This fitna is so severe that it wouldn't leave any one of this ummah except that this fitna will have an effect on him. Some people to a worse and a greater extent, and some people to a lighter extent, but everyone will be hit, will be affected by this fitna. حَتَّى قِيلْ إِنْ قَضَتْ تَمَادَتْ. To the point, this fitna will be so murky, will be so obscure, that when people will feel that this fitna has ended, all of a sudden it will resurface and reach its peak. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, حَتَّى يُصْبِحَ الرَّجُلُ فِيهَا مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. This fitna to duhayma will be such, a man will wake up in the morning with iman in his heart, but by the evening his iman will disappear, he'll be kafir by the end of the day. We said fitna, the aim of fitna and spiritual challenge is to rob people of iman. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Father, حَتَّى يَسِيرَ النَّاسِ إِلَىٰ فُسْتَطَيْنِ. As a result and effect of this fitna, people will end up in two camps and in two groups. فُسْطَاطِ إِيمَانٍ لَا نِفَاقَ فِيهِ وَفُسْطَاطِ نِفَاقٍ لَا إِيمَانَ فِيهِ. One camp, one group will be a group of people who will possess perfect iman, genuine iman, authentic iman and belief, in which there'll be no fraction or shadow of nifaq and hypocrisy. The other group will be people who'll have complete hypocrisy without a single fraction, percentage or shadow of iman. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, as though these two camps are now the foundation, the introduction, the pathway to the worst fitna that will ever surface on earth, a fitna that every Nabi warned his ummah about, the fitna of Dajjal. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, فَإِذَا كَانَ ذَلِكَ فَانْتَظِرُ الدَّجَّالِ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ أَوْ مِنْ غَدِهِ. When this takes place, when people end up in these two camps, then wait for Dajjal to come on that very day or the next day. So these are the fitna that are going to take place. This is the extent and the severity of the fitna. People will be losing their iman. Some will become kafir outright. Some will pretend to be mu'min, but they'll have kufr in their hearts, meaning they'll be munafiqeen and hypocrites. But what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give us? What's the skill set, the survival rules that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given us to get through, to survive, to navigate, to make our way through this fitna? So Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah records a hadith from Uqba bin Amir radiyallahu anhu, who says, Ataytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqultu man najat. I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I asked him, Ya Rasulullah, we've heard from you regarding different fitan, regarding trials, tribulations, difficulties that will come on the ummah. Ya Rasulullah, that we heard. We heard the problems, we heard the issues, we know it's absolutely truthful. There's no doubt in this. If you said it, it's going to occur. Exactly how you explained to us. But Ya Rasulullah, I came to ask you a question. How do we survive these fitnas? How do we get out? What's the survival tools? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Uqba bin Amir, he gave him a three-step plan that was meant to work from that time and will work till the day of Qiyamah, because it's given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a three-step survival plan that will help any person in whichever age he comes, in whichever place he goes to, whatever the type of the season may be, and however severe the fitna may be. If he adopts these three steps, he'll be guaranteed salvation. Number one, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Uqba bin Amir, Amlik alayka lisanak, amsik alayka lisanak. Control your tongue. Take full control. Guard your tongue from saying anything inappropriate, from engaging in anything haram. Put your tongue under very strict surveillance. Guard it, protect it. Make sure the tongue doesn't say anything incorrect. Now for this, the reason Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us this is because the tongue has such an effect on the human body that when your tongue is straight, all your actions are straight, your thoughts are straight, your deeds are straight, your heart will be straight when you guard your tongue. This is explained. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, he came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked, Ya Rasulullah, akhbirni an amalin yudkhiluni al-jannah wa yubaiduni minan nar. Ya Rasulullah, show me one action. Show me something that will allow me entry into Jannah and will save me and protect me from the fire of Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to him, you've asked something very great, but this action is extremely easy for whoever Allah makes it easy for. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam started, he commenced the answer by explaining to Mu'adh bin Jabal the five pillars of Islam. Iman, Salah, Sawm, fasting, Zakat, performing Hajj. Then he went on to explain Sadaqah, the power that Sadaqah has. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam explained about a person performing Tahajjud Salah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam expounded on the virtues of Jihad. And Rasulullah explained the virtues of fasting. At the end, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tells Mu'az, O Mu'az, ala adulluka ala milaki hadha al-amri kulli. O Mu'az, should I share with you? I've given you all the different avenues of good. The faraz, the nafal, the mustahab, all the avenues that you can capitalize on. But let me show you one thing. Should I tell you one secret ingredient that will give you a good hold over all these avenues, that will grant you an ability to carry out all these avenues of good easily, as though this one deed is the motivation, it's the fuel, it's what propels you, aids you to do good and to continue with good. What he said, كُفَّ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا وَأَشَارَ إِلَى لِسَانِهِ. Take care of your tongue. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam pointed to his tongue and said, look after your tongue. When your tongue is straight, you'll have the ability to do every type of good. But when you misuse your tongue, there is a decrease. There is a diminishing feature in the drive you originally had. You were moving well, but all of a sudden that drive has diminished. That light has become dim. Now what's the result? The result is misusing the tongue. When you guard your tongue, you move straight. When you misuse your tongue, then everything turns for you. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they displayed to us this beautiful sunnah in a unique way. They took care of their tongues and we see what virtue Allah had given them. An example, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha reports regarding the incident that had taken place in the fifth year after Hijrah. The incident we know as the Waqi'atul Ifk, Hadithatul Ifk. When Aisha radiallahu anha was falsely accused of, na'udhu billah, committing zina with Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu anhu, because she was left behind after an expedition, they thought she was in the carriage, they picked up the carriage, she wasn't there, they thought she was inside, the entire group moved on, she was left behind, Safwan bin Mu'attal was made in charge to check whether anything or anyone was left behind. He saw Aisha radiallahu anha, no exchange of words, no salam, she only heard him reciting, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He seated her onto the camel, and like this they came to Madina Munawwara. The munafiqeen, the hypocrites, the people who start off and initiate fitna, Inna alladhina yuhibbuna an tashi'a al-fahisha. Those who love that fitna spreads amongst people.
These munafiqeen and hypocrites, when they saw Safwan bin Mu'attal, Aisha radiallahu anha, the leader being Abdullah bin Ubay, he started this propaganda. He started this false accusation that these two must have engaged in haram, and they began spreading this news. This began spreading, hypocrites took it wholeheartedly, innocently. Some Muslims also got caught up into this. One Muslim who got caught up innocently was Hamna bint Jahsh. Later on they were punished, later on Allah forgave them. وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. The one who took the main part, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he's getting the most severe punishment. He passed away as a kafir, he died as a kafir. Nevertheless, Hamna bint Jahsh innocently also began spreading this information. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he heard it, he knew and he said, I know nothing but good regarding my wife. I know nothing but good regarding my sahabi, Safwan bin Mu'attal. But he couldn't dismiss it because it would have looked like he's partial. So he went to Zainab bint Jahsh, who was his wife, and the sister of Hamna bint Jahsh. He goes to her and he asks her, oh Zainab, ma ra'aiti, ma alimti, what's your take? What do you know regarding Aisha? Now Zainab bint Jahsh is a wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha is also a wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zainab bint Jahsh, she responds to Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were rivals. They were competing to get the attention of the husband, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look at the wording of Zainab bint Jahsh. She says, Ya Rasulullah, Ahmi sam'i wa basari. Ya Rasulullah, I guard my ears, I guard my eyes. Meaning, I will never engage in a statement. I will never say something that my own eyes didn't see or my own ears didn't hear directly from the person involved. I will not say, wallahi, the only comment I got about Aisha, wallahi ma alimtu alayha illa khaira. Ya Rasulullah, I know nothing but good in Aisha. I know nothing but good. Aisha radiallahu anha, hadith of Bukhari, she says, wa hiya allati kanat tusamini. If you look at Zainab, she was the one who was amongst my greatest rivals. Myself and her had one of the strongest competitions to win the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was, so to say, her moment to stamp her authority, to win superiority, to get more attention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because her rival is being run down. But asamahallahu bil wara'i, Allah protected Aisha radiallahu anha because of her refraining from engaging in a single statement that doesn't concern her. A single statement that is inappropriate to make at the time. Allah Ta'ala had saved and protected Aisha radiallahu anha. So this is important for us to understand. Follow the sequence. When we know something, we say it. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. You don't have the full information. You haven't researched, you haven't seen or heard thoroughly. Don't go behind, don't comment. Because every statement you make, whatever you hear, your ears, your eyes, your heart, your thoughts, you'll be questioned about everything on the day of Qiyamah. So be careful not to make your book of deeds dirty for no reason. Don't go behind something you haven't got full information. In today's time, what we need to do is to engage, rather than engaging in wrong. The tongue is a unique muscle. Doctors and physicians explain, the human being, Allah has blessed him with many muscles. Every muscle has a limitation. You'll work it to a certain point and thereafter, it gets tired. But there's one muscle in the body that starts working very actively. From the time a person wakes up in the morning till the time he goes to bed, it can work continuously, non-stop, without getting tired at all. And what's that muscle? That muscle is the muscle of the tongue. And for some people, that muscle doesn't even stop when they go to sleep. They begin sleep talking also. Even whilst they're sleeping, that muscle is still working. So this is a very, like we can use this for wrong, we can also use this for good. That's why Allah says in Quran, only one ibadat, udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Remember Allah in abundance. Because your dhikrullah is linked to your tongue, and your tongue is designed never to get tired. Rather than using it to do wrong, use it to do good. In Urdu it said so beautifully, Achhe kaam karoge, to bure kaam se bachoge. Achhe kaam karoge, to bure kaam se bachoge. If you engage in good,
automatically you'll be saved from wrong. So a simple way for us is to engage in dhikrullah. Everyone might not be a hafiz. Everyone might not be able to recite Quran, become a walking Quran. Those who have this ability, Allah increase them, Allah bless them. But those of us who don't have this, then all we can do is make dhikrullah. But we are human beings, we tend to forget. So a simple way to get over this is hold the tasbih in our hands. People at times may feel difficult to hold the traditional tasbih. But in today's time we have this little devices, these electronic tasbihat that we can hold in our pockets. Or we can hold in our hands. Just to serve as a reminder for us to engage in dhikrullah. And by the end of the day, if we look at the count, sometime it goes into thousands. But those few moments are not gone to waste. The second thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned was, وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. Let your home and your house be sufficient for you. In other words, a man finds protection, peace, safety when he comes home. So let your home be sufficient for you. Try and remain indoors, remain at home, remain at an environment that you're going to be safe and the people around you are going to be safe. The moment you leave the home, you are more exposed to fitna. It's easier for you to fall into problems. Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَا تَأْمُرُنَا فِيهَا. Regarding a time of fitna, trial, tribulations, especially like we know the season we're going through, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, كُنُوا أَحْلَاسَ بُيُوتِكُمْ. Become addicted to your homes. Meaning, become like those items in your home that never leave the home. Try and stay indoors. If you cannot stay indoors and cannot stay safe there, it refers to any other place where you'll be protected from engaging in wrong. Sometimes it may be a masjid. Sometimes it may be the company of a pious person. But engage or go to a place where you're going to be safe. So this is the second aspect. Stay and remain home, remain indoors, remain in a safe environment. And the third is, وَبْكِي عَلَىٰ خَطِيئَتِكَ. Cry over your sins. Make istighfar. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we've heard this hadith time and again. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that this is a unique action. Glad tidings be to that person who comes on the day of Qiyamah and finds a lot of istighfar in his book of deeds. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, if a person holds on to this one action of istighfar, he recites istighfar. Whenever he gets an opportunity, he recites istighfar. Allah promises him three rewards. Number one, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِن كُلِّ دِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا. Whatever difficulty you are going through, Allah will create an exit. وَمِن كُلِّ هَمٍ فَرَجًا. Whatever anxiety, stress, whatever type of mental turmoil you are suffering with, Allah will convert your anxiety, your stress and your depression into happiness. And number three, وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will provide for you from avenues your mind hasn't even gone towards. But hold on to istighfar. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith wherein he says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, عَلَيْكُمْ بِلَا إِلَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. Hold on to two simple dhikrs. What are these two? La ilaha illallah and istighfar. فَأَكْثِرُوا مِنْهُمَا. Do them in abundance. Because shaitan says, أَهْلَقْتُ النَّاسَ بِالذُّنُوبِ. I've destroyed people by engaging them in haram. But they've destroyed me. بِلَا إِلَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. They break all my efforts just by engaging in reciting La ilaha illallah and istighfar. This is a special deed we need to engage in. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, read this and do it in abundance. We'll do this and we'll find safety. We'll find security. It'll be a means of us being protected against fitna and against trials and tribulations. An incident is narrated. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates this hadith. And he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam quoting this incident on many occasions. In the narration of Sahih ibn Hibban, he says, I heard the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quoting this incident more than 20 times. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he explained that there was one person who belonged to the Banu Israel. His name was Kifl. La yatawarra'u an dhambin amilaha. He wouldn't refrain from any sin. All his day, his night, his entire life was filled with guna and filled with sin. In the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day a woman came up to him, beautiful young woman. He gives her 60 gold coins for her to share the bed with him, to spend the night with him. She agrees. When he goes up to her
Then ur'idat wabakat. She broke into a shiver and she started crying. So he looks at her and he asks her, what has happened? Am I doing something against your will? Did I force you? She says, no. Then why are you crying? She says, I'm doing what I'm doing, but I'm feeling very guilty. I've never done this haram in my life. The only ma hamalani alayhi illa al-haja. The only reason I'm doing this haram is because I'm in dire constraints. I've got people who are under me, dependents. I've got no way of fending or getting some cash or something to feed them except through this action. I feel very ashamed of what I'm doing. At that moment, Kifl was taken aback. He said, you're doing what you're doing. You've never done it before. I feel ashamed of myself. Take the 60 gold coins. I also won't engage in this wrong. He sends her away. And he said, Wallahi, la a'si Allaha ba'daha abada. After this, I will never disobey Allah in my life again. This was his turning point. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Famata min laylatihi. That night it was written for him to die. He passed away on that very night. فَأَصْبَحَ مَكْتُوبًا عَلَىٰ بَابِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ غَفَرَ لِلْكِفْرَ. The next morning when people woke up, it was a common practice at that time when something happened to someone, then announcement was written on his door. It was divinely engraved on his door. Kifl is a man, Allah has forgiven every sin of his. Because of the tawbah he engaged in. Tawbah consists primarily of two things. Number one, خَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. The best of those who commit crimes are those who turn to Allah in tawbah. Number one, acknowledge, accept, confess. That's the first thing. Like Kifl did. He acknowledged, I'm wrong. He never justified. And the second thing is, أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْهُهَا. Follow that evil, that wrong that you did with some good action. Kifl gave that 60 gold coins to her without taking a cent back, and Allah had forgiven him. This is the istighfar we need to engage in. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to capitalize on these actions. We'll end off on one statement. Generally, when these type of seasons come, then people tend to say, let's go with the flow. Everyone is merrymaking, everyone is celebrating. Let's go with the flow and do like others are doing. Let us understand something very, very clearly that one fisherman mentioned that remember, only dead fish go with the flow. Only dead fish go with the flow. The strong ones develop the muscle to swim even against the current. So a kafir is dead as far as his heart is concerned. There's no life. There's no iman. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. There's iman in your heart, there's life in your heart. Allah guides you through that iman. A kafir doesn't have this. He'll go with the flow because he's got nothing to stop him. But a mu'min, no matter what the flow of fitna is, no matter what the current is about the current times, he doesn't go with that flow. He tells himself, even if it means me swimming against the current, I go to see what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want from me. Let me be obedient to Allah. Let me be obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me see what's the guidelines of Quran and Sunnah, and I'll do what pleases me Allah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala save and protect us from every type of trial and tribulation. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to get out of these difficult times with ease and afiyat. And may Allah make us from amongst those who obey Him and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all times. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.